listen to my voice. It's strong, confident, not emotional.
We want to make less messes and more memories.
The wash day struggle for me was horrible.
I'm Richard Gearhart.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart. You just heard some snippets from our show. We had amazing people on. Listen for the rest of it.
Want to patent your invention? The chance is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I work at Gearhart Law doing the marketing, and I have my own startups.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, everyone, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with startups, small businesses, and discuss the intellectual property that helps them flourish. We have on our show Kathy Caprino. So she's an internationally known coach and author, and she just has so much to say about making women more powerful in the world today. And we really look forward to hearing from her.
And then we have two incredible presenters with kids' products, Ashley Davies with Happy Grub. This is such a great idea. I'm so excited to hear about it. And then Trisha Ellis with Harajuku, which I don't know if you're making this for adults yet, but I wish my salon would use this. So we'll hear all about it when it's their turn.
It's time for IP in the News. And who is our IP in the News topic today?
Well, Universal Studios in Florida, their theme park, they filed a bunch of trademarks. And Richard Bilbao, a senior staff writer at Orlando Business Journal, was wondering if this might be a clue to some of the rides that are coming.
Ah, so trademarks are a preview of what's to come. Very interesting.
Yes. So my favorite one is Starfall Racers. It might be a roller coaster. That sounds so cool, doesn't it?
Right. I love roller coasters, and the theme parks, especially in Florida, have like some of the most amazing roller coasters ever. I remember taking our kids there, right?
Yes.
And just going on the same roller coaster like 85 times. I just couldn't get enough. It was absolutely an amazing time.
I remember on Spider-Man, we're going up, 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 and I'm thinking, we're going to have to come down. But they have another one coming, Curse of the Werewolf. What in the heck could that be?
That was one that I was wondering about. I don't know. Is that like you go into a house with werewolves, or it's kind of hard for me to guess?
Me too. But I think it's kind of interesting that this man, Richard Bilbao, pulled these out and said, hey, look, these could be new rides because they just got the trademarks on them. What a great way to figure it out.
Right. Or it could be the name of a house or something. It doesn't necessarily have to be a ride. It could be some other part of the theme park. But I guess we just have to wait and see what happens. So, Kathy, do you have any ideas about what these trademarks could mean?
I don't, but I think it's a fascinating idea that it is a precursor to something. I mean, that makes me almost want to look at what are new trademarks.
And sometimes the trademarks are a little descriptive, and they kind of give a hint about what's coming up next. So I think it's kind of a neat strategy. The first time I've seen a writer talk about stuff like this. Kenya?
Is there a classification for like roller coasters and things of that nature?
Well, there's a classification for everything and in the trademark register. And unfortunately, I didn't look up the roller coaster classification before I came today. But yeah, I mean, that would be another way to get more information, is to look at the classifications and the descriptions of the goods. So if these are filed intent to use trademarks or regular trademarks, they have to put a description on there, which he didn't in the article. So, you know, maybe we should give this guy a call so the next time he does it, he gives us a little bit more information.
Kenya sounds like she has a little bit of experience with getting trademarks.
Oh, gee, I just happen to know a couple people who do it.
Right, absolutely. And so, Tricia, you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they're going to do with the trademarks, actually. I don't know if they are going to do rides or if these are going to be new theme parks or, you know, it could be new restaurants. It could be anything. I'm just excited to see what they're planning on doing with these trademarks. It's so interesting to me.
Yeah, I think it is interesting. I wonder if you were like to look at all the Apple or Google trademarks, what kind of stuff you could figure out. If you've got nothing better to do but look at trademarks, I think it could be kind of fun. Ashley, what are your thoughts?
Trademarks are They're great to have. And when companies come out with a new product, you always want to make sure that you keep it under lock and key before releasing it. So you don't want anybody to come out with the same exact thing. So I'm sure that these, if they're rides, if they're restaurants, whatever they are, they've been in the works for a while, but now that they are ready to start launching and make it part of the public eye, now they are ready to take it off of lock and key and really just release it to the world. So I'm sure what they're going to do is start creating buzz around these trademarks. And when they do their press releases, they're going to see the feedback that they get from the public. So really creating that excitement and not ultimately telling you what it is going to bring the consumer back to Universal and really wonder what it is.
Spoken like a true marketing expert. No, those are really insightful comments. I think like a lot of people don't look at the trademark register for this kind of thing. So, you know, probably they filed the trademarks really without having too much concern about it. But now, obviously, it's out in the open and well-known in Orlando, where the newspaper is written. So that's it for IP in the news. And now it's time for us to turn to Kathy Caprino. She's a global career and leadership coach. She's an author. And so tell us, what are you up to lately, Kathy? And tell us some of the ways that you help and support women in the workplace.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. So I need to say it's been a motley career, all of which I'm leveraging now, but I was a corporate VP and then that ended in a very difficult way after 9/11 and then I became a therapist. That has been the most transformative experience, working with really difficult, hard things. But I've been coaching women for 16 years all around the world. And what I'm focused on now is, I would say a few years ago, I said to myself, what is going on that no matter where these women are calling from, no matter what industry, field, level, socioeconomic level, they are bringing the same exact challenges over and over. And I said, let me figure this out. And what I saw was they are missing two things. They're missing the bravery to face head on what isn't working and take accountability to change it. And they're missing power, internal power, and access to external power. And, you know, as a writer, I have a Forbes blog and I do a lot of writing. I said, let's dimensionalize this a little more. What kind of power? What are they missing? So my latest book, The Most Powerful You, is about the 7 damaging power gaps. And I think, you know, if we discuss them, heads will nod. Mm-hmm. Because I did a survey, 98% of women, 1,600 women answered, have at least one of these gaps, and 75% have 3 or more. And when you have these power and confidence gaps, you just can't thrive. You might be successful on the outside, but you're not going to thrive on the inside. So I've got the book, I've got an 8-week course, training programs, and it's all around how do we become the most confident and powerful you.
Well, that sounds amazing. So what are the power gaps that we should know about?
I'm so glad you asked. What I'd love to do, and I have my handy sheet right
you
here.
You set it up perfectly.
Wonderful. So I'd love to read what they are and then tell you the percent of women who said they have this gap. So number one is not recognizing your special talents, abilities, and accomplishments. 63% said yes to that. Number two, communicating from fear, not strength, 70% said yes. Number three, reluctance to ask for what you want and deserve, 77% of women have this gap. Number four, isolating from influential support, 71%. These numbers are staggering, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Number five, acquiescing instead of saying stop to mistreatment, 48%. Number six is losing sight of the thrilling dream you had for your life, 76%. And finally, number seven, allowing the past or past challenge to continue to shape you, and that is 62%.
That's really interesting. Why do you think these gaps exist?
There's a lot of reasons. First, I would say, and again, 98% of women have, but 90% of men indicated they have at least one gap. So it's not just women. I would say there's some reasons. First of all, we don't come out of the gate with these gaps. They're culturally trained. They're societally trained. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, I'm half Greek, half Italian. And in that culture, you don't challenge your elders. So I grew up, and Mom knows that, you know, it's in the book, I really couldn't challenge. I couldn't say, I don't agree Well, I grew up to be an adult, not knowing how to challenge, not knowing how to say no.
I have to say, I feel the same way sometimes. But part of that is, I think, is generational, because I think kids today have no problem at all standing up and saying, this is what I want. At least our kids don't have any problems doing that.
Our daughter in particular, but I still think that she probably doesn't understand what her true talent is either, because she's going to hike the Appalachian Trail to try to figure out who she is and what she really wants to do with her life.
Wow.
And I'm encouraging it. I wish I'd done something like that. But it's because she has this uncertainty. She's a nurse. She's very talented. She's very smart. But I think she really fits into that gap category you're talking about.
And I think that one, not recognizing our talents, women are trained not to speak about themselves. We're trained not to sound like a bragger. Not every woman. I don't mean to paint every woman with the same brush or every man. But there are societal shapings. Don't sound like a bragger. Don't take credit. Don't put yourself first. The whole journey here is to recognize how you're amazing, and everyone is amazing. Everyone is special, but they don't know it. And the other thing is, when you're really good at something and it comes naturally, you might love doing this, you know, in front of the camera, in front of a microphone. Another person would be sweating bullets and scared to death, but it might come very naturally to you. So when you don't recognize that, yes, even though it's natural and it came from childhood, it's special and you want to leverage that, you're going to struggle with what to do with your life.
Kenya, your mind must be going a mile a minute here.
Yeah, it is. Because I'm just thinking about the experience that men have versus what we have as women. You said that some men identify with at least one of those and that women identify with at least multiple of those. So what is the difference between men and women, and why are men more adaptable in situations like that?
I love the question. This is not to bash men. Please don't get the wrong idea.
I won't let that happen.
Well, I'm looking right at you, Richard.
So. We all know what men are like, so go ahead.
Especially in the business world, it's a patriarchal world. You know, if you look at how many women are Fortune 500 CEOs, it's a very small percentage. Mm-hmm. So when you have a dominant culture and a minority culture, what happens is the minority culture is suppressed a bit and sometimes tries to act like the dominant culture. But the reality is, I mean, I think every woman on the call, every woman listening, when they've been assertive, has been called another word or it's viewed as something else. And that is because in our society, we split ourselves in half. We know what the gender stereotype is. Listen to my voice. It's strong, confident, not emotional, not vulnerable, gets things done. But we know what the feminine, I'm saying it in quotes, is, and you can hear it in my voice, soft, pleasing, malleable, putting other people first. So all of this is like a weathering where we're getting this message over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And it becomes just part of who you are, and you don't even realize that these are your challenges. But even I love research. I used to do market research. There's a fantastically interesting statistic that right out of school, men, 57% of men negotiate for their very first salary, negotiate the salary, and 7% of women do.
I believe that.
Right? Mm-hmm. So we're not asking for what we deserve. We're afraid to. We don't think we're worthy. There's another statistic, 75% of executive women have imposter syndrome. And a lot of the men that I coach and train don't have it. I suggest everybody this weekend who's listening who says, I don't really know what I'm great at, go somewhere quiet with a pad and pencil, shut off all devices. And here's a tip. Write down the 20, I call them the 20 facts of you, the accomplishments you've had that you've made that you are most proud of. And I don't care if it's when you were 10 and you had the best lemonade stand. What you're most proud of. And then what you want to do is dimensionalize, what are the skills and talents that I have that I could achieve that? What has allowed me to have a podcast or write a book or coach 20,000 women? What exactly? And I promise you, when you sit down and embrace that, yes, you did this. Sure, your team might have helped, but these are the things you did that you're proud of. You're going to begin to see that you belong where you are. It's not imposterism. You really have earned where you are. And now how can I leverage that more fully?
That's a really inspirational message. And I do think for myself, when things get a little on the rough side, I'll go back and I'll do an inventory of things that have gotten me to this point. And usually if I'm upset, it's because I forget how far I've come, and instead I'm looking at where I think I should be. But if you can go back and just focus on what you've done so far, a lot of times that's revitalizing.
And it's great to think of the gap because you want to stretch yourself into it, and you're going to be uncomfortable doing these things. But if you live only in the gap, I think you're absolutely right. You're going to always feel less than. You know, a lot of clients come to me and say there's age bias, there's gender bias. And I say, yeah, it's out there in the world, but we're not going to sit back and just ascribe our lack of moving forward to that 100%. The difference, however, is I work with mid to high level professional women. When you've had consistent, repeated, over and over, like in my 18-year corporate career, there was sexual harassment, gender bias, gender discrimination, toxic colleagues, narcissistic bosses, chronic illness, zero work-life balance, and it wasn't random, it continued. When you have that, what happens is your confidence gets rocked because you think, this must be me. Something's wrong here. If you talk to, as I do, thousands of women, you'll see that there's a reluctance to say, I am great at this. I am good at this. Say it out loud. That is what you'll see among many women. And I think even younger generations as well.
But I think, too, that women, when we want to be strong, have to present it in a different way than men do. We are either a soft little mushy thing or we're the word that rhymes with witch. And there's no in between for us a lot of times. So I think what you're trying to do is help women find that in between place, right?
That's right. And I'm with you that as one person rises, we can uplift others. So what I hope is that people listening here who lead others, who manage others, who parent children, we all can learn from this because these gaps do, I think, impact every human being. And if we can close these, we're going to thrive and help others thrive.
I couldn't agree more. We have to take a commercial break, but really fascinating discussion with Kathy Caprino, global career and leadership coach. And we'll be right back with more Passage to Profit. Right after this.
What are entrepreneurs' most valuable assets? Their passion and ideas. We can't protect your passion, but we can protect your ideas. Trust Gearhart Law to protect your ideas with premier patent, trademark, and copyright services. There's never been a better time to start your own business. Contact us at gearhartlaw.com. At Gearhart Law, we have years of experience protecting entrepreneurs' ideas and brands using patent, trademark, and copyright protection. So if you have a new consumer product, a new software application that you're planning to build or sell, or a brand or company name that you want to protect, contact the experts at Gearhart Law, www.gearhartlaw.com. Don't let the wrong protection strategy ruin your business. All of our attorneys are passionate about protection and are licensed and qualified to represent you before the United States Patent and Trademark Office. Don't start your project without calling us first. Contact Gearhart Law on the web at gearhartlaw.com. Together, we can change the world. This ad has been read by a non-attorney spokesperson.
Now back to Passage to Profit. Once again, Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
And our special guest, Kathy Caprino. Boy, we had a lively first part of your interview.
And whenever you're talking about men and women, right?
And now we're on to Kenya, who's going to ask Kathy the next question.
I just had a question about, like, if a woman finds themselves in a place where they're feeling diluted, whether it be personally, whether it be professionally, like, do you think you can learn how to leverage that? Because I know you have a podcast called
Finding Brave.
Right. I think that's a moment to find braveness. So how would someone leverage a moment like that?
Yeah, what a wonderful question. So I do, because I was a former therapist, I think this, we are what our childhood taught us to be unless we unlearned it. And that's great stuff and difficult stuff. But what I often see is when a woman comes for coaching and she feels suppressed or being passed over, all those things, the very first question I ask is, how old is this problem? And you would be shocked at how many people were not aware that it started in childhood. And if you've been raised with narcissism or emotional manipulation, or there was conditional love, you had to get all A's or get into Harvard or be number one on the soccer team, you've kind of gone underground and you're just trying to please and perform, perfectionistic overfunctioning, I call it. So I would say it's the time to look at your whole life, the totality of your life, and where did it start? And then sometimes therapeutic help is important. But what you want to do is first be aware of it. Greater awareness equals greater choice. How can we change anything if we're not aware? So let's get aware of what are all the contributing factors. And sometimes it's what we're holding inside. And it's not necessarily the environment or the job. or the career. Does that answer?
It does. And you have a podcast.
And I do want to say, can I mention that your team, David Postolsky, helped me so much with the intellectual property, the trademarking.
Please go on.
Can I tell that story?
Yes.
Oh, I love it. I know you didn't have me on just for this. So what happened was I did a TEDx talk called Time to Brave Up, and I loved the term brave up, but I didn't do a trademark search. I looked on Google to see if there was anything out there, Brave Up Podcast. I'm in the process of developing a website and a logo, and it was like a middle of the night thought, and I went, wait a minute. What if there's a trademark out there? And can you believe I found a database online, of course, and it said that someone who was just 4 months into coaching had filed the trademark for Brave Up.
Oh, doesn't that kill
you?
I mean, truly, I was gutted.
I was so attached to it. And my photographer had David's help for a trademark. She said, call him. And he said, we'll work it out. But yeah, you have to come up with another name. And I just was so angry. But soon after, I was in Greece co-hosting a retreat. And my friend, who's written a series of books called Feel Brave, said to me, what about Finding Brave? And the truth is, I love it better. Finding Brave is every minute you need to find it. You have to look for it and find it. And David helped me. And there it is.
That's a great story. And I'm so glad that, you know, you had the insight to even check. And that's like a really good thing to do, because think of all the branding you could have done, and then you could have lost it all because you ran into somebody else's mark. So at least you found out about it early in the game.
It's true. And I think a lot of people don't want to spend the money. That's the reality. But really, to have invested in your brand and have it be stripped away, that's not the way to go. And it's your identity, too. When you have a brand that you're living and breathing, it's not just a marketing thing. It's who you are.
Right. So what do you talk about on your podcast? What would a typical podcast be?
I consider it like a master's class every day. So I'm on a lot of lists. I get pitched a lot, as you all do. But best-selling authors come on. A recent episode was on Andre Solo's book, Sensitive, about highly sensitive people. And it isn't just a colloquialism. There are scientific traits, you know, research traits on what it is to be a highly sensitive person and how it can be very difficult if situations aren't conducive to that person being able to be who they really are. So it's Andre, it's Pulitzer Prize winners, it's leadership experts. So what's really fun is I hold it like they're over for dinner. You know, I'm asking questions that I want answered that I don't understand. And I'm learning so much every day.
That really is the best part of doing these kinds of programs. You get to meet really amazing people, and you also get to learn a lot.
You know, I've just launched an 8-week course called The Most Powerful You, and that's for individuals. And there's a video training for organizations. And I'm so honored to say a division of the United Nations has acquired it for members of their workforce. And I'm training 50 companies every few months, it seems. So that is what I'm hoping for, to get it in the hands of organizations that care about diversity and equity. For 18 years in my corporate life, I struggled. I was successful on the outside, made a lot of money, but I was never successful on the inside. And when you face sexual harassment and gender bias and being passed over, and the way I was laid off after 9/11 was really brutal to my self-esteem, there was not this kind of help back then. And in fact, women's issues were not even in the national conversation. Now, of course, we're reading about them in headlines everywhere. But, you know, when I became a therapist and then a coach, I said, if I can help one person bypass the pain and the challenges I've had, one person a day, it's a good day. That's really what it's all about. I believe nothing is secure that is outside yourself. It's what you have to offer the world. It's what you bring to the world. That's what is yours. Because, you know, I was laid off, frankly, after being promised, buy the biggest house you can. You have a long career here. Mm-hmm. 1 month after moving into that house was 9/11. And 1 month later, I was laid off. So I live that idiom. What's secure is what you develop in yourself. And then you learn to leverage that in ways that you love. It was the breakdown that led to the breakthrough. A lot of us have those, but sometimes we don't have the courage to seize the breakthrough. And I think if we can look at life like that, that in the throes of it, we can feel devastated. But if you can hang on to, what could I do that I could look back in 5 years and say, that is the best thing that ever happened to me? If you can hang on to that, I think you're on the Finding Brave path.
That is so perceptive, because I try to say that to myself and I forget it. But it's like, what could I be doing right now that I'm going to look back on 5 years from now? Exactly what you just said, and say, boy, am I glad I did that. Or I wish I had done that. Why didn't I do that at that time? That is just so true. And I think that getting out of the box, and I think sometimes when somebody tells you no, it opens so many more doors than you ever expected.
But you have to be able to see the door opening.
Right. And that's not to say a life of entrepreneurism is easy, but I think it's more satisfying at the end of the day.
Wouldn't you say any entrepreneur who says it's easy is either lying or, you know, in a little bit of denial?
Yeah, I was saying to Richard, do you remember when we were young and we had these jobs where we showed up at 8 or 9 and we knew exactly what we were supposed to do? We took a lunch break at noon. We went back and worked all afternoon. We went home at 5 and we knew exactly what we were supposed to do and when we were supposed to do it. And it was just so easy.
The grass is always greener.
Yeah. But those days are gone, corporate people. Yeah.
The Most Powerful You is Kathy Caprino's book, and it's out. I have a hardback copy that she gave me, and I'm so excited to read it.
Thank you so much.
Fascinating discussion with Kathy Caprino, and we'll be right back with more Passage to Profit right after this.
Hi, I'm Lisa Askley, the Inventress, founder, CEO, and president of Inventing A to Z. I've been inventing products for over 38 years. Hundreds of products later and dozens of patents. I help people develop products and put them on the market from concept to fruition. I bring them to some of the top shopping networks in the world. QVC, HSN, eVineLive, and retail stores. Have you ever said to yourself, someone should invent that thing? Well, I say, why not make it you? If you want to know how to develop a product from concept to fruition the right way, contact me, Lisa Askeles, the Inventress. Go to InventingATOZ.com, InventingATOZ.com. Email me, Lisa@InventingATOZ.com. Treat yourself to a day chock full of networking, education, music, shopping, and fun. Go to my website, InventingATOZ.com.
Passage to Profit continues with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
Special guest, Kathy Caprino, and we just heard from her really amazing information about empowering yourself, empowering women, and she has a lot of great advice. She also has a new book, The Most Powerful You, so make sure you check that out, and also check out her podcast, Finding Brave. Now it's time for Kenya Gibson here with her Power Move segment. Who's on Power Move today, Kenya?
So for Power Move today, we have Mandy Bowman. She is the founder and CEO of Official Black Wall Street. It's an innovative marketplace app that is now the fastest growing platform for finding and supporting Black-owned businesses in the United States. And she's already circulated more than $10 million in sales and business to services and put that back into Black-owned businesses in the community. So I thought that was creative and clever and very supportive.
That's really cool that she's doing that. Mm-hmm. Thanks for highlighting her today. And we wish her a lot of luck. You know, I think that's important work that she's doing.
Yeah.
So, Elizabeth?
Okay, so now for Blue Streak, formerly Fireside. For those of you who don't know, it's a video directory of small businesses. And now it's business to business, B2B. I've been working on it since the start of COVID and refining it and changing it, and it's changed again, but I don't want to give away too much, so I'm not really going to say how I've changed it this time. But what I've been working on lately is finding software that will help me get things the way I need to get them. And so I found a really couple of great software programs that I'm going to buy and use for the business. And I can probably also use it for the podcast I'm doing with Danielle Woolley called the Jersey Podcats podcast, where we have cat lovers come on and we talk about cats and different things about cats. Although this Friday we're taping an episode on Zoom and it is cat lovers versus dog lovers. And she said, Elizabeth, I'll let you be the main person asking questions about that one. I'm like, okay. Well, let's see if we can get some good fights going here on
Zoom. I was
going
to say, sounds like drama and conflict to me.
She's like, there are so many people that want to do this. And I'm like, well, we should do it once a month. She's like, oh, maybe once a quarter. But anyway, the podcast has been really fun. And we've had some really interesting, great people on there.
And where can people find the Jersey Podcats podcast?
Anywhere you find your podcast. And of course, on YouTube too.
Okay.
So with that, we are going to move on to our next presenter. I just think this is such a great idea. Ashley Davies with eathappygrub.com. I went on her website. It's very cool. So welcome, Ashley. Tell us all about what you're doing.
So I'm Ashley Davies. I'm the founder and owner of Happy Grub, the only squeezable pancake mix that's available on the market, thanks to our trademarks and our patent as well. Right now, we are expanding nationwide. We just launched last week in 500 Walmart locations. So super excited to get our product out there and become a household name. It's definitely something that has taken a lot of hard work, determination, and a lot of R&D behind the scenes. So yeah, super excited to be at the point where we are today. And we are just having a great following of customers who are just finding us in all these different stores and locations. And we look forward to the next step in Happy Grub and really bringing everyone, like I said, Happy Grub to their house and becoming that household name. It's a dry pancake mix in the bottle. So all you need to do is add water to it. You shake it and you squeeze it onto a pan. It comes in four different flavors. It comes in buttermilk, apple cinnamon, yummy banana, and whole wheat. The ingredients in the bottles are only organic and natural ingredients. So I wanted to make sure that the recipe would be something I would want to feed to my children, and also that I would feel comfortable serving and giving to children everywhere. So I wanted to make sure that we only put the highest, most premium ingredients in there for our children and parents alike, because the day and age that we're in, parents are looking for that premium organic ingredient in everything that they're purchasing. So I wanted to make sure that we followed along with that and make it easy and fun for kids and parents everywhere. We want to make less messes and more memories. And that's where Happy Grub comes in.
Have you tried this on your kids?
I do. When I started this company, I did it because I became a mother and I found that there was not an easy enough or convenient way to make mealtime less messy and more fun for my kids. I do have two children right now. They're 4 and 5 years old. They were 2 and 3 when I first developed the product. As everyone knows, pancakes can be messy. So we wanted to make sure
that's part of the fun, right?
No. Pancakes are not. Have you cleaned your pancake bowl after it's sitting out?
It's been a while. We've started having, like, we had pancakes like a couple of weeks ago, right?
We did, but we didn't have little kids throwing the dough everywhere.
But anyway, I do love the fact that you're using organic ingredients. And as I think more about my diet and stuff that I'm eating, it really does become more important to make sure that the stuff that you're putting in your body is healthy, or at least it's not some weird chemical that's going to harm you later on down the road. Certainly applaud you for doing that.
So what do your kids do? Do they put the water in and squirt it all out themselves? Do they squirt a lot or a little? Or what does it actually look like when the kids are using this?
Just imagine when you're done mixing your pancake batter, even if you did it in a bowl. So once you add the specified amount of water, then you just, you shake it. It gives kids that experience and it really allows them to learn and it makes them feel involved as well. So they just add the water themselves, they shake it, and then we can squeeze it onto a pan. So you could make simple Mickey Mouse shapes, anything like that. Kids love to be involved, and we definitely want our children to be involved in every aspect of our life. But really, when it comes to the kitchen, it's very messy and there just isn't an easy enough way for them to do it. So that's why I wanted to make sure it was easy enough for kids everywhere to help their parents make their breakfast, or heck, you can have breakfast for dinner too. So whenever you feel like you want pancakes.
Pancakes are my favorite thing, and I often will have pancakes for dinner. But one of the things I love...
Pancakes for dinner?
Yes. When I was a kid, it was like such a delicacy.
No, they're totally like, for breakfast. No, you can never eat pancakes for dinner.
Like,
no,
all the time.
So what do you love, Kenya?
Well, I love that it's so convenient and time, like, saving for moms, right? Like, you think about, like, getting the kids out the door and you want to give them, like, a good breakfast. And, like, pancakes are usually, like, a weekend thing. So you have, like, time to clean up. But this is one squirt, flip in a pan, and, you know, you're out the door and they get a good breakfast. So what a solve for moms out there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's, like, quick squirt. school mornings. This morning I had a very quick school morning with my children. So thank goodness I had Happy Grub in my pantry. it's easy enough. You just add the water and then you make a couple pancakes for the kids, and it stores in the fridge up to 3 days. So you can even just split it between, you know, over the 3 day period, you can make as many pancakes as you want, or you can just do one. It's just fun. It's convenient and it's easy for kids and parents and moms everywhere.
So have you ever made like a really large pancake? Like what's the largest pancake you've ever made?
Let's see. I don't know. The size of a frying pan. I've made that.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. Well, yeah.
Kathy, did you have a question or comment?
I'm speechless. No, I don't. No, I think this idea is fantastic though. My kids are grown, 25 and 28, but pancakes are a part of our happy memories for sure. So wonderful. Congratulations to you, Ashley. Yes.
So I know there's a lot of pancake products that are in the marketplace, and obviously you stand out and this is something different. Do you feel like there's any old school brands that have inspired you in terms of your marketing and how you plan to position yourself in the marketplace?
So I come from the world of retail. I'm used to the customer interactions constantly, and I've worked with a lot of kids in the retail world. And even when parents come into whatever retail store I was working in at the time, kids, the first thing that they go to is the register. And the first thing they notice is the candy and the colors and really just focusing on that. So I wanted to build this brand of Happy Grub based around kids and what we want for them as parents, and just the brightness, the colors. If you look in any preschool or any kindergarten class, it's bright, it's colorful. And that's really the innovation that Happy Grub brings to the pancake world, is no one else has done it before. And with our bottle as well. So that's why we have a patent. No one else can do it. But when it comes to the marketing side of it, we want it to be fun. We want it to be friendly. Right now, due to our marketing and our friendly colors that we have, we're possibly working on a licensing deal with Paramount for SpongeBob. So
bottles behind you look very SpongeBob-ish. It's adorable. That just makes it fun for kids too. Makes it fun for everybody, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We call them our Happy Grubsters. So each bottle has its own flavor and its own grubster. I came up with the idea for monsters when, let's be honest, we call our little kids little monsters, right? So I came up with the idea of creating a monster line and making it fun, friendly for kids. And I want these grubsters to be recognized by kids everywhere. And we wanted to make them simple enough. So when we have coloring books or we have different types of products that we have out there that we send out with our mailers, we want kids to be able to have fun and make it easy for them. So when you look at a coloring book and like there's Paw Patrol or even SpongeBob for kids, they have an age range. So the age range that we are with is about 4 years old and it goes up to about 12 years old. But we want them to have fun. We want them to recognize them. So everything is carefully thought out before we've launched it out into the retail world.
Wow. Well, pancakes should be fun. They're like one of the funner foods that you can have. I mean, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, healthy, but not necessarily fun. Pancakes are fun.
So, pancakes are fun.
But can you put blueberries in these things when you're cooking them too?
Yeah, you can do anything that you want with them. So once you mix the mix with the water, it squirts out. Then you can put blueberries onto the pan. We've done apples. We've done strawberries. You can put any topping that you
want.
Yep, you can do chocolate chips, bananas, and it makes waffles as well. So even if you have a waffle maker, you can squeeze it into a waffle maker. And then even what I do is I'll make the entire bottle all at once in mini waffles. I'll put them into the freezer. Then the next day, it's even easier for breakfast. Just pop them in the toaster and then breakfast is ready and it could be on the go if you're really running behind.
I think Kathy has a question, right?
I do. Yeah. Ashley, I'm looking at your characters here. And first of all, I was a marketing person. You have clearly a strong marketing sense because you're thinking of all these ways that your product will get in front of children and in front of parents. I'm just wondering, did you hire an illustrator for these adorable grubsters?
We have an in-house team that we work with, and that's what we've developed. We've developed our first mood board, and then we continued to grow from there. The direction that we wanted to go was with the monsters. I knew I always wanted monsters and just bringing them to life and adapting and changes here and there, like make the eyes bigger and make the teeth a little bit smaller. So yes, it was all part of our in-house.
I love the extensions. Obviously, there's merchandising. It's brilliant.
What were you doing before Pancake Mix?
I was a store manager in the retail world. Aww. So I don't have any prior education into the CPG world or even business management. I'm self-taught. And the way that I wanted to develop this product is, one, I wanted to be the inspiration to moms and parents everywhere. So they hopefully realize you don't need to have a degree that specializes in building products and creating brands. I listened to podcasts, read books. I definitely did every tutorial out there when it comes to building a brand around the CPG world. So all self-taught. I'm a mother of two. And when I developed it, they were toddlers. They were babies and they were still in diapers. So it's very possible. And I do get the question, well, how is that possible? You have to keep remembering that in 5 years or even 10 years, 10 years is going to come no matter what. So start now and then just continue to grow. Don't think of it as, oh my gosh, it's going to take me 10 years to do that. Well, 10 years is going to happen regardless. So just start now and then continue to grow and develop yourself as a person and really just build a brand along with it and
Sounds
teach yourself.
Great. Amazing. And I see you have the website eathappygrub.com. Where's the best place for people to find your pancake mixes?
Now on amazon.com, we are Prime as well, so they can find us on there. We just launched in over 500 different Walmarts across the U.S. In Texas and in California. Those are our two main states, but currently we're in over 1,000 retailers across the U.S. and we're continuing to grow. So check out your local Walmart. Walmart has specialized pricing as well, and we are looking forward to growing, and shortly you will also see Happy Grub on a national platform. So that's super exciting. And then we'll continue to expand from there.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Ashley Davies. Now, Tresha Ellis has been waiting patiently, and I want to introduce her next. I went on her website, and I wish that my hair salon would use your product. Oh, my gosh. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It's so innovative and such a great thing. Welcome, Tresha. Can you please explain to us what you have?
I am the founder of Hair Jaku, and I created the Hair Jaku shampoo pillow to help mothers and kids have a better, more comfortable wash day experience. You know, I'm a mom of three girls, and the wash day struggle for me was horrible. My girls would kick and scream and cry. You know, when it was time for them to get their hair washed, I really felt like a helpless mom. And so I enlisted my husband to help brainstorm and come up with an idea that helped create a waterproof pillow that would support their head, neck, and back so that they could be comfortable when they're getting their hair washed. So we created the shampoo pillow, and it's been wildly successful. We're so proud of it.
Well, that's really great. Is it typical for young kids to not like getting their hair washed? Is that a typical struggle?
I hated it.
Really?
Yeah.
I hated it. Yeah. I can remember when I was a little girl getting my hair washed, and I had lots of hair just like my girls. And my mother would lay me down on the counter with a little towel rolled up for my neck, and water would get everywhere. I would be kicking and screaming. It was really stressful and a lot of anxiety for me. And so I really felt my kids, you know, pain when I started washing their hair. It's really a struggle for kids.
And it's a lot of work. Even as an adult, I don't like washing my hair. I'm just like, the days I have to go and do all the, it's just a pain. I'd rather someone else wash it.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I'm wondering for this pillow, too, though, like, you know what the hair salons that we go to as adults, those things they stick your head in to wash your hair, like, it hurts. It literally hurts. I wonder if your pillow could help there, because it looked like it could be squishy enough to go in there.
You know, I get that all the time. I really get that all the time, and I have not tried it, but I guess I can try it to see. I'm sure it'll be a little bit more comfortable. I wonder if there's enough space to slide the pillow in between the chair and the bowl. Maybe we can try that out. It's a great idea.
But I sure felt jealous watching your little girl on your website. She's laughing and she's happy and she's getting her hair done. It's like,
wow. I gotta just take a nap while I get my hair washed.
You know, they do fall asleep on that shampoo pillow. It's been great. sleep. You know, they fall asleep. You know, they really enjoy it.
Well, I just had a question. Was it easy or hard for you to get a patent on this?
Here's the problem. I sat on this idea for years. And when I finally got the courage to go ahead and move forward, someone released a similar product. I don't have the patent for it yet. I'm in the process of getting a patent for it. But I will say that it was difficult, and it was difficult because I sat on the idea and allowed somebody, I think they went and applied for their patent maybe a week or two before I applied for mine. I just didn't do it in the right timing.
Well, don't give up hope, because you have David working on it for you from Gearhart Law. Our attorneys have little tricks.
Yes, David has been great.
It is a difficult choice sometimes, though, when you're starting out as an entrepreneur and maybe you're bootstrapping it and you have to make decisions about where to put your money. You know, there's not really a right answer to that. It's just that you do want to kind of get to it as soon as you can, because if you miss it, if somebody else comes in, then it can cause problems, right? So, you know, you have to make decisions about your business, and IP is important, but there's other important things too. Mm-hmm. You know, at Gearhart Law, we understand that, because there are trade-offs that you have to make sometimes. So how do you plan to market your product?
Hopeful. So right now, I use a lot of influencer marketing, and that's been great for me. So a lot of little girls, they, you know, I send them the product, and then they go out and do videos for me and post on Facebook and Instagram. And that's just been working wonders for my business and building my brand.
The product is named what?
Called Hair Jaku.
Uh-huh.
And the word Jaku is an African word that means to bond and to connect. So when I think about the wash day experience, I think about like how you are creating those memories with your kids or your family. And so that's why I decided to name it Hair Jaku, because those are lasting memories that you're creating with your family, with your kids and your girls.
I think that's such a pretty name. Yeah, I think that's such a nice name.
So, Kathy, did you have any questions or comments?
I want to applaud you. And I just have to tell a personal story in that my dear mom, she kept my hair really short for years because of this issue. I think she didn't want to have to deal with long hair. I wish your product were around back then, because it was a lot of years of very, very short hair that now I'm growing it long. It's a brilliant idea. And I love that it comes from your wish to help moms and other families have more joy for washing their hair in bath time. Bravo to you. Love it.
That's what innovation is all about, is taking day-to-day things that are just difficult and then finding solutions to them is wonderful. And that's what Passage to Profit is all about. It's all about trying to bring these ideas to a larger audience and hopefully inspire some people who have some ideas to get out there and try something.
Tricia, where do people find your product?
So I'm only selling it on my website right now, and that's hairjaku.com. So they can get it there.
Okay. And that's spelled HairJaku.com. And are you selling a lot of them now? Do you have a big inventory too?
Yeah, I'm selling pretty good right now.
Are you doing it all yourself?
All myself.
That's a true entrepreneur.
I'm hoping to expand.
That's how it starts.
I mean, it's a grind over here, but we're doing it, and we're getting through it.
What has been your biggest challenge?
So my biggest challenge is working with factories. So I do get my product manufactured overseas, and just trying to make sure that they can create what I need them to create, and then just stand on top of them in terms of like what they deliver to me. A lot of times when, you know, they'll say they have all these promises, okay, we could do it. And then when you get your product, it's not right. So it's just the back and forth of working with the factories and making sure that they deliver the quality product that I expect from them.
I've heard that from so many people, and it doesn't matter where your product's made, really. Maybe it's a little harder with the communication with people overseas, but they'll cut corners. They'll give you the wrong size.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I hire an inspection service to go in, and it's still not right in some cases. So you have to even be on top of those people too, the outside people that comes in to inspect your product.
Have you thought about trying to be on one of the home shopping networks? I mean, this seems like it would be a perfect product for that.
No, I haven't.
Well, we have a friend.
We have a friend.
We know a guy.
What Tricia has is a hair washing aid for little girls, and it's called Hair Jaku, HairJaku, and it's a waterproof Pillow, go to her website and see it and order one while you're there.
Passage to Profit, Road to Entrepreneurship.
Our special guest, Kathy Caprino, Richard Elizabeth Gearhart, your hosts, Kenya Gibson, the media maven, and we will be right back after this.
There's never been a better time to start your own business. The opportunities are infinite and only limited by your imagination and enthusiasm. At Gearhart Law, we believe the most successful companies all have one thing in common. They start with a solid foundation first. Gearhart Law has years of experience protecting entrepreneurs' ideas and brands using patent, trademark, and copyright protection. So if you have a new consumer product, a new software application that you're planning to build or sell, or a brand or company name that you want to protect, contact the experts at www.gearhartlaw.com. Our professionals will create a custom strategy designed to fit your needs and your budget. All of our attorneys are passionate about protection, licensed, and qualified to represent you before the United States Patent and Trademark Office. Don't start your project without calling us first. Visit gearhartlaw.com. Together, we can change the world. Visit GearHartLaw.com. This ad has been read by a non-attorney spokesperson.
It's Passage to Profit.
Time for Noah's retrospective.
Noah Fleischman is our producer here at Passage to Profit, and he just has a way of putting his best memories in perspective.
We're just going to have to do something about all the fast advancing technology and consumer electronics out there these days. We can't even enjoy or appreciate a new gadget or device before we have to change or upgrade it without even enjoying or appreciating the one that we already have. You know, when I was a child growing up in my uncle's home in the 1970s, we had a black and white television set, and I loved it. We had friends and family with color TV, and I'd seen plenty of it, but I wasn't impressed. The Wizard of Oz looked great to me in black and white. More importantly, television was a very important part of our lives as a family unit. It gave us the chance to sit around the living room together and enjoy something without any disputes or issues. That all changed when my uncle came home one night with a brand new Zenith Chromacolor television set. It was one of those one-week trials, and it was the longest week of my life. And it didn't even last a full 7 days. No matter what was on the screen, it caused a dispute in the living room. This is too yellow. That's too blue. Can you do something about his orange hair? I was just praying for the black and white TV to come back so I could enjoy my television shows again. Well, soon I got my wish. After about 4 days, everyone got so tired of fighting, they sent the color TV out of the house. Peace at last. You know, there's advancements in radio, too. High definition, digital, all those sorts of things, and they're wonderful. But for me, I still like to listen in black and white.
Now more with Richard and Elizabeth, Passage to Profit.
If you missed parts of the show, you can hear the whole thing tomorrow on our podcast on PassageToProfitShow.com, our website, and just go to wherever you get your podcasts, and you can listen as many times as you like. It's now time for Elizabeth's famous question.
So I am going to pose my question to Tricia first. Was there someone who was discouraging or told you don't do this or you can't do it? And what was your response? How did you power through?
So there was no one that told me that I couldn't do it. However, I did not have the courage to do it myself. So that's why I sat on my idea for so many years. You know, that's one of my biggest regrets is not having the courage to push forward and sitting on the product idea for so long. So when I finally got the courage, you know, I was so happy that I did do it, that I did bring my idea to market. And, you know, the people that encouraged me were my friends who are moms who have young girls, and they really did push me to move forward. So I really appreciate them being in my corner for that.
Yay for support groups. Okay, Ashley, did anybody tell you not to do this or act discouraging? And what did you do?
No one directly in my own family, but when it comes to social media, when you launch a product, there's always people out there who question what it is that you're really creating and, well, why this or the price? It doesn't matter. There's always going to be someone out there who has a problem with any product that you put out. So what I taught myself to do was instead of, you know, taking any comments or anything like that from anybody I even spoke with, or I don't really understand the product. I think it's a mindset. You have to take the negative feedback and the negative comments and turn it into constructive criticism. And you have to build off of that.
So Kathy Caprino, did anybody tell you don't do what you're doing or you're stupid to leave corporate or anything like that?
A lot of people did, including my former corporate colleagues. They would say, why do you think you have to do that? When I studied to become a therapist.
Well, you just don't get it.
You don't get it. And I will say there was a couple over for dinner and I said, I'm going to leave corporate, become a therapist, start my own practice. She said, "You're going to be burnt out and broke." And I went upstairs and cried. And then served lasagna, right? But what I want to say is...
Comfort food,
yeah,
right?
There you go. Have your food. Now, when people are naysayers, I understand where it's coming from. Typically, it's jealousy that they want to be free. They want to have their own thing. Or they're fear-based that you're going to lose everything. So I take it with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. So, Kenya, you have a few things going on. What do you do when people tell you, oh, you can't do this or whatever?
Oh, I love when they say that, actually, because I feel that those are the people that God will allow to co-sign your calling. Mm-hmm. And to me, when people criticize or they give off negative energy, a lot of times it's self-projecting. And then it's also, I feel like it's a sign you're moving in the right direction. So I've learned how to like leverage that. It's a good sign.
Good for you. Richard Gearhart, patent attorney extraordinaire. When has somebody told you, don't do this, you can't do it? And what did you do?
Well, I actually had the opposite situation because you told me to do it, right?
So, right, but there were people that were like, oh, you're going to do that?
You know, my mom. And she was like, I don't think you have it in you to start your own business. I mean, I didn't take it that seriously. But when people are negative to me, I actually do listen to it and internalize it because there's a part of me as an entrepreneur who has to have a thick skin and has to believe in what I'm doing. And I have to be keeping my eye on the ball, and things that are going to interfere with me and hold me back aren't going to contribute to my success. The most important thing is not to let it deter your spirit.
So there we go. So our guest was Kathy Caprino. She has two websites. It's Kathy with a K, K-A-T-H-Y, C-A-P-R-I-N-O.com, mostpowerfulyou.com, and her podcast, findingbrave.org. She's had so many life experiences that have taught her so much and talked to so many people. She can really help you get through some of the gaps that keep you from being the person you need to be, want to be, right? And then we had Ashley Davies with Happy Grub, eathappygrub.com. Really cool product for kids. Pancakes that you mix up and squeeze out for kids to use. And then we had Latresha Ellis with Hairjikoo, HairJikoo.com. Oh my gosh, if you want to make hair washing a fun experience instead of a fight for your kids, her product is one you really need to get. It was a great show. Everybody had really cool stuff to talk about.
Before we go, I'd like to thank the Passage to Profit team, Noah Fleischman, our producer, Alicia Morrissey, our program director, and Mark Wilson, our syndication manager. Our podcast can be found tomorrow anywhere you find your podcast. Just look for the Passage to Profit show. And don't forget to like us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.